Today, I want you to take stock of your life, to look back and see how the Lord has graciously worked in you, the times God has tested and proved you, the times God has blessed and provided for you, the times God has guided and protected you. As you look back in faith, say over your last 20 years, can you see the Lord has been at work in your life? Sometimes obviously in significant life moments, other times subtly working behind the scenes, but certainly always present and graciously working. Today we consider a 20-year block in Jacob's life. Remember, Jacob has deceived his father and stolen his blessing. He's forced to flee into exile, fleeing his elder brother set on revenge. And on his journey, he meets the Lord at Bethel and receives the divine promises. Finally, he arrives at his uncle Laban's home in Padan Aram. It's here where Jacob remains in exile for 20 years long. And during this time, these two decades, the Lord is working in Jacob. When Jacob first arrives, he displays powerful strength. His uncle Laban knows a good worker when he sees one, and so he puts his nephew right to work. Now we quickly learn that Laban is no family man. He isn't loyal to family or to blood. He's loyal to money. He treats his nephew like a servant, a laborer under contract. He treats his daughters like commodities to be bargained and sold. This is the man Jacob wants. This is the man Jacob works for over the next 20 years. After 7 years of hard labor, it's time for Laban to pay up. His beautiful daughter Rachel given in marriage, but Laban changes the deal. He screws Jacob. In the dark of night, he gives his other daughter, Leah, instead. Jacob, the trickster, has been deceived by another trickster. Friends, it's thick with Jewish irony. Rewind 7 years earlier, Rebekah helps Jacob deceive his father with the switching two brothers trick. Now Rebekah's brother Laban deceives Jacob with the switching two sisters trick. Jacob's father is deceived because he is blind. Jacob is deceived because he fails to see. It's dark, there's a wedding veil, and probably plenty of alcohol. The similarities are striking, and the lesson is just as clear. Galatians 6, the principle of moral reciprocity. You reap what you sow. What goes around comes around. Jacob's disgraceful deception of his father has come back to haunt him. The deceiver is deceived. A word for the wise right there. Of course, the Lord could have saved Jacob from this deception. At Bethel, he's promised to be with Jacob, to watch over him and protect him. So the Lord could easily have exposed Laban's deception, but he allows it to happen. He allows Jacob to fall into it. Why? It's a costly life lesson to humble and refine Jacob. In this exile period, with its many trials, the Lord is working on Jacob's character. Laban proves to be a cunning, deceptive, heartless, and greedy boss. Jacob labors for him 20 years. This is not an easy time for Jacob, but he's growing through this trial. Jacob proves himself to be a hard, honest, faithful worker, a man of integrity who can be trusted to fulfill the contract even when he's wronged. Listen to Jacob's heartfelt speech in chapter 31, verses 38 to 41. I have been with you 20 years now. Your sheep and goats have not miscarried, nor have I eaten rams from your flocks. I did not bring you animals torn by wild beasts. I bore the loss myself. And you demanded payment from me for whatever was stolen by day or night. This was my situation. The heat consumed me in the daytime and cold at night, and sleep fled from my eyes. It was like this for 20 years. I was in your household. I worked for you 14 years for your two daughters and 6 years for your flocks, and you changed my wages 10 times. You see, Jacob's actually starting to sound like a solid, faithful bloke, isn't he? The Lord has been teaching and transforming Jacob through all the trials and pains of this exile. Friend, as you look back in faith over your last 20 years, can you see God's hand testing, transforming, refining you? Remember, just because the Lord is with us, it doesn't mean that there won't be trials and conflict. There will be. It's in these moments the Lord grows us and proves us. Perhaps you're facing some great life trials right now, and God is working on your character. He's teaching you faithfulness. So Jacob gives 7 years of hard labor only to marry the wrong daughter. They make another deal, a new contract for the right daughter, and Jacob gets right back to work for another 7 years. But in these 14 years of hard labor, we see the Lord is blessing and providing for Jacob. The Lord promised at Bethel, Jacob will have countless descendants. Well, now he has 11 sons and a daughter. It's a start. The Lord promises at Bethel, all the peoples of the earth will be blessed through Jacob and his line. Well, Laban is certainly blessed through Jacob. He acknowledges this in Genesis 30, verse 27. I have learned by divination that the Lord has blessed me because of you. Jacob confirms this in verse 29. You know how I have worked, how hard I have worked for you, and how your livestock has fared under my care. The little you had before I came has increased greatly, and the Lord has blessed you wherever I have been. Now, this is the way it should be with God's people, right? Where God's people are, there God's blessing is. As Christians, we are blessed by God, and from God's blessing, we bless others. But remember, Laban is no fool. He's been blessed because of Jacob. So after 14 years, when Jacob says, please, can I return home with my family? Shrewd, greedy Laban does not want to lose Jacob. So it's time for another deal, another contract. If I have found favor in your eyes, he says to Jacob, please stay. Name your wages and I will pay them. Now, just imagine Jacob's situation. The first contract, 7 years labor, he gets screwed. The second contract, another 7 years of labor, is now finished. Jacob is free from his obligation. He knows this man cannot be trusted, and yet he enters into another deal with Laban. I'll go on tending your flocks and watching over them, but my wages shall be your streaked, spotted, and speckled sheep. Jacob is proposing a simple, honest way to determine which sheep belongs to who. Laban gets the white sheep and goats. Jacob gets the streaked, speckled, and spotted sheep and goats. Verse 34, agreed, says Laban. Let it be as you have said. But then verse 35, Laban the deceiver gets right to work. The same day the agreement is made, Laban's sons round up all the streaked, speckled, and spotted sheep, all the sheep that should go to Laban, and they take them away on a three-day journey. Laban's trying to screw Jacob again. But this time, the Lord does intervene. We discover in the next chapter, when Jacob is talking with his wives in Genesis 31 to 10 to 12, that when Jacob makes this new deal, he knows something Laban doesn't. In breeding season, I once had a dream in which I looked up and I saw that the male goats mating with the flock were streaked, speckled, or spotted. The angel of God said to me in the dream, Jacob. I answered, here I am. And he said, look up and see that all the male goats mating with the flock are streaked, speckled, or spotted, for I have seen all that Laban has been doing to you. The Lord has seen how Laban is treating his nephew. Laban is blessed because of Jacob, but in return, he screws him again and again. But no more. The Lord intervenes. It's time for judgment on Laban's sin. He will now reap what he has sown. May this be a warning for dishonest, deceptive, greedy businessmen and women. The Lord will judge corrupt ways he sees, and justice will be served. So in a dream, the Lord reveals to Jacob that Laban's flock will be filled with streaked, spotted, and speckled sheep. And so when Jacob chooses his wages, sure enough, he chooses the streaked, spotted, and speckled sheep to be his own. For the next 6 years, Jacob implements a strict breeding program, and just as he dreamed, as the Lord revealed to him, streaked, speckled, and spotted sheep are born, and they become his. Jacob reflects to his wives again later on. God has taken away your father's livestock and has given them to me. And the narrator tells us at the end of chapter 30, in this way, Jacob grew exceedingly prosperous and came to own large flocks and female and male servants and camels and donkeys. It's been a tough 20 years, but the Lord has been with Jacob. He has provided and blessed him just as he promised at Bethel. Friend, as you look back in faith over your last 20 years, can you see the Lord's provision on your life? Times, seasons when he has greatly blessed you, blessed your family, your workplace, your church, your community. Times and seasons when he has blessed you spiritually. If you're a Christian, the Lord's provision and blessing should be common. If you have put your faith in Jesus, then you are God's child and he delights in blessing you. So looking back, can you see his provision and blessing on your life? Do you thank God and praise him for it? Are you praying for more of it over your next 20 years or so? Well, with God's help, Jacob has amassed great wealth, in some ways at the expense of his uncle. How do you suppose the shrewd, cunning, greedy Laban is now feeling? He's not happy. Laban's sons are by no means happy either. They're effectively watching the family inheritance disappear. Jacob overhears them saying, Jacob has taken everything our father owns and has gained all this wealth from what belonged to our father. Jacob notices Laban's attitude towards him was not what it had been either. This is another dangerous moment in Jacob's life. But the Lord again intervenes, commanding him in Genesis 31:13. I am the God of Bethel, where you anointed a pillar and where you made a vow to me. Now leave this land at once and go back to your native land. Go back to the land of your fathers and to your relatives, and I will be with you. Remember at Bethel, the Lord promises to bring Jacob back home, back to the land of his father. And now the Lord is saying, Jacob, your time in exile is up. Go home. It's time to leave. Perhaps there's a word here for those in abusive relationships. I think it's fair to say Jacob is abused and exploited in the relationship with Laban. And if he remains in this relationship, that abuse and exploitation will surely continue. But the time has come for Jacob to leave his abuser. Friend, to be a Christian is to forgive. Forgiveness lies at the heart of the Christian gospel. Our sins are forgiven through Christ and his sacrifice. We pray, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. To be a Christian is to be forgiven and to forgive others. We are even called to forgive our abusers. But forgiving our abuser does not mean we must stay in the abusive relationship. There comes a time when that relationship must be broken for the victim's sake, but also for the abuser's sake. We know, sadly, domestic violence has gone up during lockdown. Friend, are you in an abusive relationship? What is the Lord saying? Is it time for you to leave your abuser? Even under stage 4 restrictions, the Victorian government has said you are permitted to leave your home at any time to escape family violence. Before I talked about Jacob's growth and transformation while in exile, well, look at him now. He's hearing God's word and obeying. He's demonstrating faith and wisdom. He's showing leadership over his wives and children. Jacob is a changed man. He's grown considerably over these 20 years, but how's he going to get out of there alive? With Laban's daughters and grandchildren, with his flocks and wealth that he's amassed, it's not easy fleeing your abuser. Do you really think Laban's just going to let him walk out? No. Just as Jacob had to flee his brother Esau, now he must flee his uncle Laban. While Laban is 3 days away shearing sheep, Jacob makes a break for it. He flees to Canaan as quick as possible. But even though Jacob has a huge head start, it's not enough. Jacob's fleeing with wives, children, livestock, and possessions. They're not traveling light, so the pace is very slow. When Laban receives news about Jacob fleeing, he rounds up his men and pursues them. It takes 7 days, but Laban catches Jacob. He's now at the mercy of this shrewd, cunning, heartless man. Is this how it ends for Jacob? Is he about to lose everything he's worked hard for over these 20 years? Of course not. Remember, the Lord promised at Bethel 20 years ago, He is with Jacob. He will protect him and He will shepherd him home. And so the Lord warns Laban in a dream, be careful not to say anything to Jacob, either good or bad. And as Jacob later declares in Genesis 31:42, If the God of my father, the God of Abraham and the fear of Isaac, had not been with me, you would surely have sent me away empty-handed. You would have taken my wives, my children, my wealth by force. But God has seen my hardship and the toil of my hands, and last night He rebuked you. Although Laban is far more powerful than Jacob here, there's nothing left he can do. The Lord has spoken, Laban's hands are tied. He kisses his grandchildren and his daughters and blesses them. Then they part ways, Laban to his home, Jacob to his. The Lord guides Jacob and protects him. Friend, as you look back over your last 20 years, can you see God's guidance and protection on your life? Protecting you physically, financially, relationally? What about protecting you spiritually, giving you the full armor of God? I'm not saying God's children never come to harm in these areas. They do, they will. But God does promise to be with us, guiding us, helping us, preserving us, so that our lives may bring Him glory. So that our lives may bring God glory. Ultimately, that's what's going on here in Jacob's life. For these 20 years, the Lord keeps His promises to be present with Jacob. The Lord proves Jacob through trials. The Lord provides for Jacob and blesses him. The Lord protects Jacob from his enemies. Why has the Lord graciously worked in Jacob's life? Why does the Lord graciously work in our lives? To show us how glorious He is. To show others how glorious He is. Friends, this is what I want you to see. When Jacob looked back on this 20-year period, he's able to declare, look what Yahweh has done for me. Look how gracious He has been. Look how glorious the Lord is. When you look back on your life with the eyes of faith, can you make the same boast? Look what the Lord has done for me. Look how gracious He has been. Look how glorious the Lord is. Friend, this is what the Lord wants for your life. So in faith, look to his glorious Son who died and rose again for you. In faith, receive his glorious Holy Spirit he graciously gives you. In faith, pray and ask the Lord to work in and through your life. Amen.